much fun? How much fun was it to make?
Kind of, like if that's really a day at the office, I was like, oh my God, this is a pretty good deal. It just seemed nutty, kind of from the screen test on.
Yeah, it was kind of like a carnival ride. Or a hoedown, or, you know, any number of fun things, a hay bale ride. And it was the funnest thing you can imagine, like that.
Yeah, it was like camp, summer camp.
Mm-hmm. It was summer like camp. Summer camp.
There was crafts.
we tried new foods. Exactly. We learned things.
We had activities.
Okay. There was we went out on boats.
You know, there was camp counselors.
There you go. Really, really heavy things on your back.
Yeah, we only shot 3 days. The rest of it was not active.
The rest was all trust exercises and swimming.
That's all it was.
So, Ivan, I have to ask you, obviously, you've been with Ghostbusters from the very beginning.
Yeah, I'm why, the old man here.
Why now is the right time for a new Ghostbusters?
I think so, and particularly as told by these four extraordinary women. And, you know, if you ask me, was it fun, was it this on the set, it was just remarkable to be there to watch them and to see it happening again and to see it continue. It's something that we all wanted to continue, but never managed to sort of talk each other into for about 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly to see it happen again under Paul Feig's direction was just a great thrill.
Yes. And Kate and Leslie, since you were going to work with some people who've worked together before, was there a little initiation or hazing going on?
Well, what?
What's your name again? I want you to look at me and tell me what somebody hazed me.
Good point.
Even though I think Melissa wanted to add weight to our packs, like slightly through the whole shoot.
But I didn't, and I was very proud of myself. I spent many, many weeks talking to it's not the best side of me, so maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but I did spend several weeks just obsessing with the idea of adding quite a bit of weight to Leslie's pack, but incrementally every day, putting like some kind of lead weight in it, because she really, really talked about how heavy the packs were. And the more she would talk about it, the more it would make me giggle, because when she gets mad, she gets funny, although I respect you. And then I went back and forth and I was like, but if the end of those 2 weeks she finds out that her back is literally killing her and it's me, I don't want to be there. So I did not do it.
Every day I was like, Paul, I am a comedian. This is heavy. Why are we waiting?
Katie, how do you even start writing a script for such funny ladies?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, when Paul first asked me to write it with him, my brain exploded because I loved the original so much. And then, but the second also Paul cast these women, it was a huge sigh of relief because I think they're amazing and make everything funnier. So that made everything so much easier. And then it was just all excitement, you know.
And Paul, do you just say action and they just go?
Pretty much. I just try to stay out of their way. I mean, you know, we put the script together, which is a nice roadmap, and we know what we need out of each scene. But then how we get there, that's the fun we have of letting these four ladies just kind of go for it. And you know, and we don't go bananas and throw away the script, but at the same time, they are just such masters of making it their own. And then that's why you get that feeling of that you're there in the room with them, and these are your friends, and you're just watching this happen for the first time, because a lot of times you are watching it happen for the first time, as was I.
Yeah, I love when he would go, dealer's choice. Yeah. And we'd be like, oh, that means we can do what we want.
And they did what they wanted.
And sometimes he would say it before we actually already started doing it. So.
And Kate, did you have any idea what you were saying, the words that were coming out of your mouth? Those scientific words, were they real or did you just make them up?
I spent a lot of hours looking up the nouns that I was supposed to say, and most of them are real nouns, not really related to one another in real life. But I would try to, it was a mental leap to connect all that stuff, but I love science and junk like that. So it was fun, and you know, these guys helped me memorize it by testing me. It was.
I have to jump in here. She is such a scientist in secret. There was even like a line in the script that I remember. Kate was like, "Hey, what if I said something like this?" And her joke alt was like another crazy scientific, full of like ridiculous language that I didn't understand. Like she's a secret.
She bought a soldering kit. She bought a soldering kit and she made an alarm system.
Yes.
When we were shooting, yes.
Well, I was bored on the weekend, and I
she's like MacGyver.
It's not a joke. It's not a joke.
I used to solder. I soldered when I was a kid, and I wanted a refresher.
You got back in touch with your sensitive soldering side.
I was like, "What are you doing?"
Okay, now we're gonna open it up to these amazing bloggers who are here in the audience. Someone's gonna pass around a mic, so hit it.
You're on.
Hi, I'm Janice from Mommy Blog Expert, and love the movie. You guys are all great.
Oh, thanks.
And
thank
it's
you.
So nice to see so many cameos in this movie. So I wanted to know from all of the talent and directors who each of your favorite cameo was in this.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible. It's too really Sophie's is. Choice.
Yeah.
It just is. You can't, really like, is. It's an embarrassment of riches to have them even drop by set and give you your blessing and, you know, but to have them not only show up, be happy about it and be like, hey, you know, I want to do something in it. It was heaven from every direction I could never pick.
Ivan, what was it like getting those old guys back together again? Did you just call them and say, come on down, or did you have to do a little begging?
You don't call Bill and say, hey, come on down.
That is for sure.
Like Hazing Leslie,
first
right?
of all, you have to figure out where to call him.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. How are you going to call?
That's how you're going to call him. Yeah. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah. Ah, come on, huh?
Boom.
And I pass out. Exactly.
Frankly, this was the easiest ever getting Bill involved. He was such a fan of these four women together and wanted to. It made known publicly that he was such a supporter of the work that they were going to do. It was relatively easy. It was only two phone calls as opposed to a year of work.
Next question.
Hi, Vanessa from brightandbubbly.com.
Hey.
Hi. So you guys mentioned a little bit about like improvising a lot on the film. I was curious to know if there was any scene that was almost entirely improvised. And also, Leslie, I loved your commentary for Game of Thrones.
Oh, thank you.
I haven't seen it.
Then don't talk to Leslie.
I'm storing it so I can watch it all in one.
She won't let me tell her.
I think the dancing scene, right, was a lot of improv.
In the interview with Chris Hemsworth, like
the wheels
came cat. Off, the bus broke in half, the window shut. Like, Paul has 72, like 18 minute takes of that scene. Like, at one point, I was like, "Have we all gone crazy? We're not really making a movie."
Well, half of those takes are just you and Kristen laughing.
Yes. My God. He was so funny.
Oh, my God.
What
he's
is
funny.
It like dancing with Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah. What is that like?
Well, he can't dance well, so.
He found his fault.
No, he can dance.
He was on Dancing with the Stars in Australia.
Leslie hasn't seen the movie yet. You got to watch the end credits. Exactly.
Oh, really?
He can even do that.
Mm-hmm. Like, one of the best dancers ever.
I do want to tell people out there in Facebook land, you have to stay all the way through to the end credits. Yes. Do not get up. Do not leave. Stay.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't wait.
Yeah, Chris did everything kind of bizarrely well, and at one point he was trying to describe a song to me, and I was like, what song is it? And he started to sing it. And I don't say, like, we don't say shut up in my house. We're dorks. But I literally was like, shut up. Shut up. Chris, I was like, can you sing too? It's too much. I was like, just don't. I can't hear it. You can't do everything that well. Like, just don't just play it for me. Don't sing it, because if you also sing, my head's gonna explode.
See,
it's like it's too much for one person.
I would have asked him to sing shirtless. Not shut up. Take your shirt off and sing.
I love that song. Shirtless, is that a song? Oh, I
next question.
Hi, my name's Yolanda. I'm here for mom.me. My question is mainly for Melissa, but I would love for Kate and Leslie to answer also. You're a mom of two girls, and here you are leading a pack of very empowered, smart women as part of the new Ghostbusters. What does it mean to you to be part of that, especially with your own daughters? And what does it mean for the other women to be a role model to young girls? Because my daughter is super excited to see this.
How old's your daughter?
She's going to be 9 next month.
That's I have a 6 and a 9-year-old. I have two girls. It means the world to me. Every time we put something out into the world where I think they can see themselves and they can think why, and that they won't even have the realization of why wouldn't it be me? Why wouldn't I be the hero? Why wouldn't I be the Ghostbuster? I think that does such incredibly important things, not only to little girls, to little boys, to go, maybe she's my hero. Mm-hmm. I think it's incredibly impactful, and it's a testament to how Paul sees the world that he doesn't really see the difference. He doesn't direct a women's movie. He doesn't do that thing of, this is for women, and it's a female banker. What? It's just... He and Katie wrote these four incredible characters, and them being women is of no consequence to the movie, and that's the biggest statement we could make.
Yeah, and it's exciting for our sons, too. I have a 7-year-old son.
Who's also a cat.
He's a cat. To think of him playing with women action figures and just growing up not thinking of that difference is means so much to me. He'll play with them like this.
You're insane.
It's a joke.
No, it's not really a joke.
But it's not a joke. It's really not a joke. When I saw Whoopi Goldberg on television, I remember crying. I remember telling my dad that I can't believe there's somebody on television that looks like me, and I can now do this. So for some little black girl to see me doing this, yeah, I'm pretty much very proud of that.
And she won an Oscar for Ghost.
Yes, she did. She's the only one. She got an EGOT, baby. She got an EGOT. Okay.
You are good at this.
Next question.
Hi, Bea Bashcroft with momstart.com. If you could turn into a ghost to haunt your castmates, what form would you choose?
I would be hummus. That's really true. Because they love hummus. And as soon as they dip their carrot in it, I would go,
You're a bear with hummus.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Every day it was like this. What's on the set. Let me just say that.
Me, I would take the form of some kind of tabby cat, and I would go live with Kate, and I would know a kind of pampering that I have never experienced.
You should see the inappropriate picture she sends me with her cat.
Leslie, just covered in diamonds.
This is airing live.
Yes, I would shower you with affection and play with you and make sure you got enough exercise and all the good stuff. Yeah, yeah. Love my cat.
Katie, is this all material for the sequel script? Hummus Ghost.
I think I'm going to use it for we're developing female baker next. Yeah. So I think that's okay.
Women take on Wall Street. Next question.
Hello, how you doing?
Hello, hey, girl.
Hey, girl. It's Carla Renata from CarlaRenatasCorner.com, soon to be CurvyCritic.com. But anywho.
Anywho. Love that.
I wanted to ask Leslie, you know, we were talking a little bit. Yeah, I know, girl. We were talking a little bit about empowerment and everything, and I just wanted to hear your comments about, you know, being a curvy girl myself. I understand the challenges that people may have trying to get dressed for a red carpet or a special event. So I just want you to speak to that for a second, if you don't mind.
Okay, well, I've been 6 feet tall since the sixth grade, mm-hmm. and had a size 10 foot, I think, in seventh. It was always hard for me to find clothes. So for industry not to make clothes for me, the average woman that actually goes into the store and buys them, it kind of pisses me off a little bit. And I'm not saying that nothing wrong with being curvy, because I'm size like 10. I mean, I used to be a 14, you know, so y'all can. Know that a bitch been working out. You know, but you know, I just like I say, it takes a real designer to design for real women. Real women is who buy your clothes. I mean, I know that there's the Kardashians and all of that mess, but there's only a small percentage of them. The big percentage is us, the real people. And we have to say something. You have to speak up. You have to. You're spending the money. You spend the money to these people. You have to say something. I don't know. Maybe I should shut up.
Never shut up. Really never shut up.
It's a very strange thing. I've always been bewildered that if I think 72% of the American population is, I think, a 14 and above, so you don't even fall in that. But that's 72%, and that most stores do not offer it, or if it is, it's up by the tires.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always bewildered. What other business goes, oh, is it the majority? Okay, I'm for sure going to keep you out. I mean, I started a clothing line because I couldn't shop. I couldn't get stuff. I had to have all my stuff made, and I thought, this is madness.
And it's a great clothing line.
Well,
I interviewed
thanks.
Her in front of that clothing line. It's amazing. Mm.
It's under my name, Melissa McCarthy. But it is. It's a crazy thing, and I think the more you speak up about it and say, like, it's not the exception. It's they're expecting everyone to be the exception instead of like, no, we come in every shape, size, color, height, and everything, and they should serve that.
I believe that the craziest, wrongest, the most wrong statement that can be made is that's just how it is. That's just gonna kill us. There's no such thing as that. Stop accepting that. It's not just the way it is. Say something. The worst thing that can happen is they say no.
I know I joked earlier with Katie about a sequel, but Ivan, when will we see the next Ghostbusters?
Soon.
Wow.
Last time I said it. It took 20 years. So,
so soon is relative?
That's right. On the geological time scale.
And now, since we are on Facebook, we're going to take some Facebook questions
oh.
for you.
Ooh.
And just to let you know, I think there's a super, 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 totally super fan who's like maybe has submitted some questions. Oh. We'll get to those in a few.
Wow.
So, Melissa Feliciano says, I love that the Ghostbusters are positive female role models for my kids. Which women have been heroes for you? Who has inspired you?
Ooh. Gosh.
Ooh, wow.
There's so many.
For me, it's any woman comedian who has dared to, you know, wear pants or not care about how she looks mm-hmm. or not care about looking what we think of as feminine. And so many of my heroes fall into that category. And I've tried to carry that mantle.
You do, baby.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm old, so you know, y'all might not know some of these people. Moms Mabley, all of the female, like she said, the female comedians that would go for the joke, you know, Lucille Ball, Carol Burnett, you know, these people stand out to me because they just go for it, like Melissa. Face. I tell her all the time, she got face. She got face, man. I love her. Yeah.
I think for me, I mean, mine started with my mom. I have a really kind mother that no matter how crazy whatever I wanted to do, if it was reasonable or not, she just said, if you work hard enough, you can do it. Mm-hmm. And it was never, there was never any exceptions to that. And then everyone who put up a kind of a representation of something that I thought, well, that's maybe not, we shouldn't do that. Like all the shoulds and shouldn't, everybody who ignores that is of great interest to me. Mm. Could be politicians, musicians. I mean, there's so many, Madeline Kahn, Gilda Radner, there's so many comedians, mm-hmm. but just anybody who says like, I will not be bound by someone else saying what you should and shouldn't do, to me is like, exactly. Every time I took those little sparks in, and then, I mean, I said the craziest thing at 20, I was like, I'm going to be an actor. I mean, and my mom said, great, go do that. Just do it well and work really hard at it. And somehow all those little sparks stayed with me long enough. And I thought, why not me? And that's the accumulation of a lot of great women.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a question for everyone. We'll start with Katie over here. Erica has a challenge. She said she has a challenge.
Wind sprints.
How many hot dogs can you eat in 2 minutes? Here they are.
More than you think.
Describe the movie in one word.
It's such a simple.
These are a lot of words, Katie.
you're a writer. One word.
Exciting.
Fun.
Hopeful.
Oh. It's not an adjective, but friendship. That's the noun. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. Never mind. Go on.
Badass.
Is that hyphenated or two?
There's a hyphen.
That's hyphenated. Thank you.
I would say joyful.
Oh.
Yeah, that, yeah. Oh.
Laura Pitch asks, if you were a ghost, who would you want to haunt?
Maybe other ghosts, just like sneak up behind them and just see what happens.
Very meta.
Very meta.
Every troll on the internet.
That's a good one.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. That's a tricky one. You go and come back.
I think
I
would just...
That's a tricky one. I'm thinking good and bad things.
I'd use my invisibility to audit a bunch of adult education courses to learn new skills. Yeah. Yeah. Unless, oh, can I eat if I'm a ghost? Then I'd just go to a bunch of new restaurants. I've thought about that.
You need help.
Then you go.
You don't like my answer, you go.
There are a number of people I would haunt. Uh-oh. Starting with The Rock.
What exactly would you do to haunt him?
You really said that.
Yeah, that's a long list of people I would, yeah.
Do they all have their shirts off?
Don't you die. Don't, you better hope I don't die, Dwayne.
I didn't mean to say don't you die. Ivan, who do you want to haunt?
I could think of a few studio heads.
Not
that's
Sony.
Good. That's good.
Not Sony. And then this is a question for Paul from Nathan D'Ambrosio. Uh-oh. How did you find the perfect actresses to play the characters?
You know,
we're sitting here, Paul.
I know exactly. I didn't get my first choices, so. Not. I can say that because it's not true. No, I mean, you know, look, I've worked with Melissa, this one over here. What's your name again? And so I know how awesome the two of them are. But then Kate and Leslie just have such unique energies. And putting together an ensemble. Yeah, oh, and look how beautiful they are, too. But I had to go, why did the first movie work? It's an amazing story. It's amazingly executed so well. But it's because of those people in that movie were so amazing. And I said, I have to assemble a dream team, a comedy dream team. And it was a pretty easy decision to make because these are four of the funniest people working today, four of the most talented people working today, and I can't imagine not having any one of them in this movie.
Oh, no. It's true.
He put us through a set of rigorous physical challenges.
Oh, yeah.
And those that didn't die and scored the highest were chosen.
It was on a deserted island and he chased us with a shotgun.
It was a Hunger Games style battle to the death.
I didn't even make sure you were strong.
you didn't know Kino's
we were the victors.
Yeah. You should see the people that we killed to get this.
And now this is from a super fan. It's a bunch of questions, actually.
Oh,
this super fan is asking, did you all change your phone numbers and emails? And why don't I have the new ones? That's from Chris Hemsworth.
Oh.
Chris, you know you got my number.
You know I send you pictures, Chris. Don't. You win that T-shirt.
As soon as Leslie's done haunting the Rock, she's gonna go on, Chris.
You better hope I don't die, Chris.
Another question from Chris. He was very active on Facebook today. He says he got a sneak peek of the DVD release here in Australia. You won't believe it. None of you are in it. You've all been replaced by men, and I've been replaced by a girl wearing real glasses. What's with that?
See, I told you he's funny, man. Crazy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's not real? That's not a real DVD release?
No. Well, there's a good one coming, though.
I think he's talking about the original, right?
How much extra material will we see on the DVD?
Oh, my God.
Let me just say this. The first cut of this movie was 4 hours and 15 minutes long.
I believe it.
Yeah, and my first director's cut where I tightened it up was 3.5 hours long.
What?
Yeah, so that's how much absolute gold.
You didn't want to cut stuff?
Well, I did. Very sadly. No, it was, I mean, it's such an embarrassment of riches when you have this amazing group of people, and there was so much funny stuff and so much great stuff, and it just really became the hardest thing in the world to get this down under 2 hours. But I'm happy with where it is, but let me just say, in all its forms, in all lengths and sizes, these ladies in this movie are just amazing.
Should have left it. Yeah. Could have been a long day's journey into night situation.
and bring back the intermission.
I mean, the river was like 2.5 hours, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We should have.
So what she's saying is recut the movie.
Okay,
balls.
Done. I got
put
a week.
Out the director's cut.
There's time.
Tell us about the slime. What is that slime made out of?
They loved it.
How do you get it off? It seems like it's something that's
and
just
there you
be
have
forever.
It.
We still have
there
it on us right now.
It's a good 2 days to get it off. And there's always three guys in masks going,
there's nothing dangerous. I promise you, there's nothing dangerous here.
I'm like, why are you in a mask and we're in a cotton jumpsuit? But it goes on, and then it doesn't want to come off, and you can't use water. We found out it reconstitutes and doubles. So it's kind of like if you're washing your hand with liquid soap, and then you go to rinse it with more liquid soap. It just keeps growing like it really is an entity on you.
I just kept grabbing one of them and putting them in front of me so I didn't get slime.
That's in the movie. You grab Kristen like a human shield and shoved her in front of you.
A couple more questions from our bloggers. Who do we got here?
Hi, I'm Yvonne with Moms LA, and so you are a comedy dream team. You guys are so funny and so wonderful. What do you say to the people out there who were concerned about women playing these roles?
Go see the movie.
Go see the movie. Mm-hmm.
Even if you're going to hate on it, just get some Twizzlers and some popcorn and some Raisinets and enjoy yourself.
You're going to love us when you'll enjoy the Twizzlers.
Yeah.
No.
Just go see it.
Go see it. I think you should go see it. I've seen it. It's amazing. Next question.
Oh, hey, guys. Chris Lee here with Kathy King. This is such a beloved franchise. Everybody has a memory of it from growing up. And now a whole new generation is going to be able to do that thanks to you guys. For you ladies, what is your most memorable moment being a part of this franchise?
Gosh, there's a lot.
I think for me, and I, this was sort of a private moment, so I don't know how you'll feel about me sharing it, but the
We're
day
live.
That we wrapped, we all
We cried the entire day, and our makeup artists were pretty upset with us because there was a lot of running mascara, and that for me, to realize how close we'd grown in that span of time, and how I didn't think that I could, as an adult, develop that kind of friendship with new people, and it just really took me by surprise, and it was a beautiful moment to look at each other and just bawl our eyes out because we were so sad to be leaving each other.
Yeah, I really was like, I'm not gonna cry. It's stupid. It's a jump. It's a job. Cried. We're gonna see each other next week. Why are you crying? And I'm the snot coming out. It was a lot of that.
And on that last day, Ernie was with us, and we were in it. That poor man, the first time I saw him again, I was like, I want to apologize and let you know we're really not crazy. And he goes, no, it was wonderful. But the first time he was sitting in, and he's lovely, and we're all like, oh my God, he's here, and we're talking. Somebody, I think Leslie said something, and I heard her voice catch, and I was like, oh, I don't know. And I can tell, I know from not without looking at her if she's going, and I'm like, Leslie. We all start insanely crying. Like, it's literally like the band's breaking up. We start crying. Ernie is so lovely and also super uncomfortable. Because now we have all gotten off our chairs because we were just waiting for a setup. We are now weirdly huddled and bawling together, nuzzling each other in front of him. He goes, I'm just gonna step out. He leaves the firehouse, comes back in 45 minutes later. We're fine. We're talking. Somebody else says something, and they're like, it's just gonna be. We do it again. He steps out again. It happened 3 times. And I literally, like, when we saw him recently, I was like, I really can't tell you enough. We're not nuts. And he's like, no. Why would I think that? That poor man literally just kept being like, I just want to sit down. But these women were like,
But what I love about that is that happened in the actual Ghostbusters firehouse. So that would just be some kind of sweet about that.
I think that's what made it happen.
So how many times have you heard when you go to make a phone call, one of your friends, your family says to you, who are you going to call?
Just you.
You're the only one who's done that. The only one.
Just you, Mark.
No one else.
I set myself up for that.
You cry yourself.
Careful.
Another question from the blogger.
Hi, I'm Brianne with The Bragging Mommy. And I had a really serious question for you guys. Do you believe in ghosts in real life?
I do.
I do.
Have you ever seen one?
Yes. No, I haven't seen them exactly, but I felt the presence. Ghosts.
I have not. My one experience with the paranormal was so lame that Leslie has told me it doesn't even count. I was 8. I had a club in school, the Ghost Hunters Club. It was me and Alexander Morofsky. And there was a pipe sticking out of my elementary school, an empty pipe. We put a stick in the pipe, and it moved. And I what moved it? I didn't see anything move it. To me, this is the hardest evidence of the three of us that I have of the paranormal.
So tell them what happened to that club.
Anyway, we disbanded after that because we got spooked, and we formed. We went on to form the Honeysuckle Eaters Club. And that later disbanded because there were pesticides on the honeysuckle.
The partner might have died.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Another question? I'm going to have another question.
Yeah.
I never heard the second part.
Do you remember seeing the first movie?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You have a story seeing it opening weekend.
Yeah, I was in film school. Yeah, and friends of my comedy pals, we love Bill and Dan and Harold and it, pre-internet, when you didn't know anything about a movie other than you might have saw one trailer, we went in and just had this experience of like, I've never seen a comedy like that before that had that kind of scope and had special effects and was still so funny and so big. And it left such an impression. I remember walking away going, like, if I could only make a movie like that. And weirdly, now I made that exact movie. So
you should wish for that plus more stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw it multiple times in the theater, which was a big exception for me. Like, we didn't go to the theater much. We, you know, it was kind of a treat and expensive thing, but I went back and saved my money and went back again because I don't think I could fully grasp, like, what am I seeing? They're like heroes, they're cool, they're weird, they save the day. What? Like, what's happening? And it's like, it just seemed, I don't know, it just seemed, made everything like possible and cool.
Scope is a word I haven't heard in conjunction with it before, but that's exactly what it is. It's so many genres and so many disparate elements of incredible things jumbled into one, and it just feels like such a whole world that you just want to be a part of so badly, is what I thought when I saw it in my mother's womb. Born in 1984.
I was in high school, so let's be honest here. I was in love with a dude named Fisherman Creeper. Now, let's just be okay, because he was like the biggest gangster on the street, and I loved him. And the only thing that I remember about Ghostbusters was Sigourney Weaver and how pretty her hair was. And I was like, if I look like her, Fisherman would love me.
Ultimately, a blessing that you didn't have that Weaver hair back. Crowley?
Yeah.
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 Fisherman, probably still there.
Ivan, what do you remember most about the first red carpet?
Sorry.
What do you remember most about the first red carpet, the first premiere of Ghostbusters?
I actually don't remember the red carpet. I remember the first time we screened it, which was about 3 weeks after we finished shooting. I thought I'd just show it without any special effects. I mean, there weren't that many visual effects. And I just wanted to make sure the story worked, that I was really worried about the Marshmallow Man. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, this is... I believed in a kind of a domino theory of extended reality, you know, to tell that story, because no one had ever made that kind of film before, and I didn't know what the audience would allow, you know, in terms of that. And really, it was one of the best screenings we ever had, even though it had nothing in it. When the Ghostbusters used their proton packs, you know, nothing came out. It was just a bunch of people shaking their stuff. There were actually shots, because it was the technology was older. There were crew members in a number of the shots, and where there, every place there was visual effects, it was actually, it would go to black and white. The best part was when Sigourney Weaver opens her fridge in the apartment, it just said scene missing. And it was the greatest response we ever got to that moment. Because what was, the thing that was in people's heads was way better than anything we could ever come up with. I think when the librarian changed, you know, when she suddenly gets really scary, and then the audience at that very first screening really screamed in fear. Then they laughed because they were suddenly caught in the scream, and then they applauded. And all three things happened in about 4 or 5 seconds. Hmm. And that same thing happened at every screening that at least I ever attended, a public screening. And I thought, oh, that's the, there's a kind of the crucible moment. That's sort of what defines this movie all in one. In 1 second, and it felt good.
Nice. Well, this has felt very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks for your questions. Thank you, Facebook. I'm going to ask the bloggers to stick around after we tune out to take a nice little group photo with everyone.
Yeah.
And make sure to go see Ghostbusters.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, you guys are amazing.